entertainer, and entrepreneur answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Larry Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Is there any doubt that America and her citizens are under attack from our very own government? It was revealed today that the IRS voluntarily shared information with the Federal Elections Commission, a violation of the law. This after admitting to breaking other laws. So now, we're being ruled over by lawless organizations. I'm Larry Adams, and this is the American Adversaries at Drive Time on News Talk 660 WORL. And I'm sorry to slap you with that bit of reality, but it's true. Oh, and now we find the NSA is feeding information to the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency. Oh, yeah, they'll help Homeland Security. Now, my co-host, he shares information, too. Just not the kind of information liberals want you to hear. Christopher Hart!
That's right. Now we know why Lois Lerner was claiming the Fifth Amendment when she was called to testify in front of Congress, because she's the one who's right in the middle of sharing information illegally.
The stink is all over this woman.
And don't forget, folks, the IRS, they're going to be having all of your financial information and all of your medical records, because they will be in charge of implementing and making sure that you participate in Obamacare.
And see, now we know, so will the NSA have your information.
And
the DEA. That's
sure.
Right.
Well, it's going to be important that the DEA know, in particular, when you go, all you liberals out there, when you go to get your blood work done, and they'd run the old drug test on you, and they find out that you do whatever drugs it is that you do that you ain't supposed to be doing, they'll be obligated to pass that information on. I mean, after all, you do want drugs to be illegal and all that stuff, right?
Well, you want to be protected.
Get ready. They're going to protect you from yourself, all right. Okay, folks, there's no protection from the American Adversaries. We are coming at you live from the beautiful Salem Communications Studios here in Altamont Springs, Florida. I am Christopher Hart. That is Lair Adams, the other voice that you are hearing. Shortly, we will be joined by our man from Jerusalem, Abe Katzman, who's going to be with us tonight. We've got a lot to talk about with Abe.
Always great talking to Abe, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nostra Dennis, our executive producer, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour, and Nick LoCicero is pushing and pulling levers and twisting knobs. So if you want to be a part of the show, we welcome you to give us a call. 407-774-8255 is that number. And if you want to email us, you can just email us by name at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. For me, or for instance, it's Chris Hart, H-A-R-T, at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, Lair Adams at American Adversaries, and Nostra Dennis, the same. By the way, folks, I want to thank you folks. We got some compliments from our show last night. I felt like it was a powerful show. If you did not get a chance to hear it, you can go to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and just click on the archive button, and it'll take you to our archive, our building archive, our growing archive, and you can listen to last night's show. You can download it. You can send it to friends. You can do whatever you want with it. And whatever else is in there, by that, by the way. And if you want, you know, you can go to iTunes and you can subscribe for free to the American Adversaries, and you're going to automatically get every edition, every episode of our show will automatically be transferred into your device. So you can make it easier on yourself by
and
just doing that.
And what is the charge for that, Chris?
Once again, it is free.
Don't try to talk us down.
All right. Okay. Speaking of talking us down, the embassy closures and the consulate closures across North Africa and the Middle East, I think there's like 19 or 20 countries, perhaps 21, where we've closed the embassies because of this terrorist threat, are going to remain closed. By the way, we are in the midst of Ramadan, you know, the biggest holiday season, if you will, for the Muslim religion. Yesterday was one of the very most important days of Ramadan, and don't ask me why. I forget off the top of my head. It may have to do with Muhammad's birthday or something like that. Anyway, that's why they thought that was part of the reason, the chatter. They thought this was something was going to happen yesterday.
Terrorists get wanky this time of year.
And now they think that perhaps all the attention and the closures may have, you know, caused them to postpone their timeline. But this is a one specific thing, but it's a much bigger problem. And that's what we're going to talk about, the bigger problem, because it is at least in part of this president's own creation. You know, President Bush took a whole lot of grief for the war in Iraq in particular, that it was an unnecessary war. We never had any business being there in the first place. Well, first of all, just on the surface of it, that's dead wrong. We already know that, the policy to remove Saddam Hussein was implemented by the Clinton administration and followed through on by the Bush administration. So already, Madeleine Albright and Bill Clinton had designs on getting rid of Saddam Hussein. They just didn't get the job done, although they were looking for ways to do it themselves. Furthermore, Saddam Hussein had violated UN sanctions. He had committed acts of war against the United States by firing on our planes who were there to enforce the no-fly zone. So there was plenty of reasons why we could have gone over there and did what we did. But there was an even more ingenious reason that I believe why we did this. And we've talked about this on our show before.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what we were up against after 9/11. In other words, we knew that there were terrorists out there, but we didn't know where they were. We didn't know where, even if we knew where they were, we didn't know exactly if we were going to be able to go get them.
Sure.
Were they in friendly countries or non-friendly countries? What are you going to do? Just waltz in and take them out and make this worldwide
policy? Or just nuke everybody.
And that's assuming you know where they're at. Okay, so what we did was we took the war to them in Iraq. We decided where the war would be fought, and that decision was Iraq. We basically killed two birds with one stone. We got rid of a menace in the name of Saddam Hussein and implemented the Democratic Republic in that country. But we also attracted the foreign fighters who would have been circulating about the world. We drew them into Iraq, and we killed them for the most part. It was a devastating defeat for Al-Qaeda.
Absolutely.
A much more devastating defeat than killing Osama bin Laden.
Men,
I will guarantee you that.
Men and material.
Absolutely. And it was purposely done, I believe, by whoever the geniuses in the Pentagon and the White House were that concocted this. Because and Bush saying, you know, if you want it, come and get it. You remember those type statements?
Mm-hmm.
And they did. And Al-Qaeda recognized it as the foremost front in the war against the great evil West.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we won that war. Okay, so we move on. And now, however, we have a new president. And the new president's idea of fighting this war is to do it as, let's say it, as surgically as possible. In other words, with drone strikes. You pull out all the military. You take out all the military assets that really get the job done in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to leave it up to a few drones to do what you know.
And brag about the five or six or eight people that you happen to hit with one drone.
And then you go in and you get Osama bin Laden. Now, we've speculated that that may have been a mistake to begin with. There's a good chance, ladies and gentlemen, that we always knew where Osama bin Laden was. And why would we know where he was and not go get him? Because we were more interested in using him to find the underlings who actually do the killing. When you think of it, Osama bin Laden wasn't really a threat. Who did Osama bin Laden ever kill? Yes, dead silence, right? It was his underlings who did the killing. But by having Osama bin Laden alive, perhaps we had a way to find out who his underlings were and who they were working with.
And Chris, what has our relationship with Pakistan been like since we went into their country to get bin Laden?
It's been lousy.
Yes.
Okay, here's the problem. Here's the real problem, though. And this comes out in a Wall Street Journal article today on the front page called Regrouped Al-Qaeda Poses Global Threat. The high level of concern from U.S. officials underscores what many in the intelligence world have long warned. While Al-Qaeda's central leadership may be weakened, the rest of the group has morphed into smaller entities and dispersed, which has made the threat harder to predict and track. It doesn't say easier, it says harder. We made it harder by killing the leadership to track the actual people who do the killing. This process was accelerated by the turmoil of the Arab Spring. Thank you very much for, you know, leading from behind on that. Furthermore, and I read on, and this is a major concern for the United States is a chief bomb maker from Saudi Arabia who's teaching these guys how to make bombs and passing this intelligence around. So now basically instead of having one major group, you have a bunch of basically it's as though you tried to remove a cancerous tumor, and in the process you now have spread it all throughout
like
the body.
Like weeds in your yard.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like the old thing, you got a pile of fire ants in your yard and you run over it with a lawnmower. Well, now you got them everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we got. Thank you, Mr. Obama. Thank you, leading from behind. Thank you, short-sighted wisdom. Thank you, all the you idiots out there who thought Iraq was a bad idea. It was an ingenious idea. It was one of the greatest military achievements of all time because the enemy never knew what hit him. And unfortunately, most of the rest of the world doesn't understand it either. But somebody who does understand things a whole lot better than any of us around here is Abe Katzman, and he's going to be with us when we come back.
That's right, folks. American Adversaries. We will be back very shortly with our good buddy Abe Katzman.
From Vacation Travel Planners, bringing you the travel deals of the week, like Bahama Cruises from $199 per person. Book the new Norwegian getaway and receive $100 onboard credit.
Oh, yeah.
MSC's Divina is also coming to Miami. Rates start at $499 per person. Princess is offering balcony upgrades, plus $100 onboard credit on all their exotic destinations like Australia and South America. Disney Cruise Line has specials on the Disney Magic. Call for details. Sandals and Beaches Resorts are offering up to 65% off. Plus, military and firefighters receive an additional 10% off. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL.
And we're back and we're live and you're welcome to call the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. All right, we have our man in Jerusalem on the line with us right now. So let's go right to him. Abe Katzman, thank you for being with us tonight. How are you doing over there?
Doing okay. Great to be with you.
As well. It's always great to have you on the show. First of all, before we get into, I know you're working on a new article. Before we get to that, though, what do you think, what's the word over there in Israel about these embassy closings and this terrorist threat?
Well, nobody knows exactly what to make of it, as with most other things in the region.
Yeah.
There's the question of, to what degree this threat is actually a real threat. I know there are cynics out there who think that some of this has to do with the domestic political situation, and that they're building up this threat and making it look a little bit worse than it really is. That's possible. None of us are privy to information that that everybody else seemed to be. On the other hand, some pretty serious people seem to think that it's a pretty serious threat. So one reaction that they had in Israel is you know, they shut down the Israeli, the American embassy in Israel. They reopened it. They're not closing it for the whole week, but that's both, you know, a little bit pointless and a little bit insulting.
Sure.
Probably some diplomatic pressure to include Israel on the list so that Israel wouldn't look any better than any of the other countries. But if Al-Qaeda is looking to hit Israel, they'll hit Israel. They're not going to go for the U.S. embassy in Israel.
Right.
That would send too confusing a terror message. I'm not sure what they would be. I don't know, go after the Knesset or something, but to go after the U.S. embassy?
Yeah.
I don't understand what the point of that would be.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, there is a lot of cynicism and skepticism about the true nature of this threat, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, the crumbling, if you will, credibility of this administration. You know, people who have, you know, seen through them from the beginning, it's nothing new. But a lot of people out there are now beginning to see through this administration, thanks to, if you will, the IRS scandal, the NSA scandal, the media
scandal. All the phony scandals.
Yeah, all these phony scandals. And it is really eroding at the credibility. And that's not a good thing for a lot of reasons, right, Abe?
That's right. And I think that's the one scandal you didn't mention there is probably the most important for these purposes, and that's Benghazi.
Yeah.
You know, in Benghazi, all of a sudden there's stuff coming out about people being monitored and polygraphed to make sure they're not talking to the press. Something was going on there, and we're only now beginning to scratch the surface. I don't know what we'll find out.
And there may have been other operatives, CIA operatives there, too.
Yeah, there's definitely been a clampdown on people who know anything about that. And can you just imagine, Abe, if something like this were going on, say, in the, what I mean by that is, you know, keeping these people from testifying, from having from congressmen having access to them. Can you imagine if this had been done under George W. Bush or Ronald Reagan or even a Nixon administration, for that matter? All the hoopla and all the, you know, the swooning and the feigning from the media over, you know, how awful this would be. And yet not a peep, not a peep.
Yep. No, I don't think the public would put up with it from anybody else. But there seems to be a lot more leeway given to this administration. But the Benghazi thing is interesting also because, you know, there we're coming up on the anniversary of it.
Right.
And the complaint there is that the president didn't do nearly enough. So now there may be an effort to get out in front of this and to look presidential and to take action. I think it makes us look kind of pathetic. I mean, it might be what we have to do, but, you know, we're the superpower. We're not supposed to be the ones cowering, in our fortresses, you know, in every city in the Middle East.
Yeah, I said on our show last night, the president's right. He's got Al-Qaeda on the run, right on our heels, chasing us down the road. And it certainly
maybe
is.
Maybe he said on a run. Maybe he said on a run.
Yeah, good way to turn that around.
Yeah, maybe we misheard him. But certainly it is, once again, projecting weakness to these terrorists. I mean, they have to be kind of sitting back, kind of laughing, you know, going, we didn't even have to do anything, and look. You know, so you're right. It is absolutely pathetic. And even now the mainstream liberal media is recognizing that the United States does not have more respect, does not have more admiration in the world since this president took office. It has less.
And we have 3 years to go of this guy.
Abe?
I was in a good mood a minute ago.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, let's try to get you back in a good mood. We still have a couple of minutes in this segment. Let's start talking about your article.
Okay.
You're working on an article. First of all, are you finished, and can you give us the gist of it? I believe you're calling it Israel's Terrorist Release. You're talking about this prisoner release, the behind-the-scenes story.
Right. You know, everybody is still wondering just what in the world Bibi Netanyahu was doing. This is not like him. Like I said, this is not a man who wakes up in the morning and decides to free terrorists. And these aren't just any terrorists. You know, there have been terrorist releases before, all of these, faith building measures and whatever they call them. where they release prisoners of, and these are the ones that were, you know, that are so bad that they never were released in any previous prisoner release. These are people with a lot of blood on their hands and some of the most gruesome terror attacks that they were involved in.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Who determined which prisoners would be released?
Well, Mahmoud Abbas came up with a list, but it seems to be the list is every prisoner that Israel has held since before Oslo, every one of them that was still in custody. So it might have been Mahmoud Abbas, it might have been John Kerry. I mean, there was certainly plenty of pressure from the Obama administration on this. This was not Israel's idea.
I'm sorry, I cut you off there with that question.
I didn't notice.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on the break anyway, so this is a good time to take a pause. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation with Abe Katzman, ladies and gentlemen, who's talking with us tonight from Jerusalem. And if you'd like to be in on the conversation, 407-774-8255 is the number. Our executive producer is also going to join us in the next half hour.
That's right. Oster Dennis will be joining us momentarily, so any other questions you have for him, too. Folks, we are the American Adversaries here Sunday through Friday. What am I saying? But Sunday nights, we're on for 3 hours. But during the week, we are drive time. But all the time, Chris, we are live. And we will be right back.
For 16 years, Cafe Positano has been famous for blending their traditional Italian family recipes with the latest cuisines. They offer affordable fine dining in the banquet room and more casual dining in the main area. From pizza to specialty dishes and tender, juicy prime rib, everything is made fresh daily, even our sauces. And owner Pasquale Barba promises you'll want to return. Located 4 miles west on I-4 on 436, phone 407-774-8080.
Cafe Positano is true Italian food, e lo prometto.
Hey folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American Adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Wednesday. Oh, hey, we're back. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the American Adversaries. I was just telling Larry Adams that Johnny B. Badd, Mark Merrow is coming back in on Wednesday to visit with us.
I wonder if he has an action figure out there. Jim Duggan.
We will have to ask him.
They're not dolls, damn it.
By the way, folks, we'll be also spending Wednesday evening over at Cafe Positano, where they have the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida. Casual dining and fine dining. They have a full bar. You can have banquets there, parties there. If you'd like to make a reservation, you can do that, or you can just walk in. But their phone number is 407-774-8080. They're 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436. That's 407-774-8080. Give them a call and say hey to Pasquale over there. And once again, we'll be over there this week. And Abe Katzman, whenever you're in Orlando, we are going to take you down to Cafe Positano. I hope you like Italian food.
Love it.
All right.
A little limited. I think we discussed this once because I'm kosher.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We'll work something out.
Yeah, we'll do something. We'll make sure it's all right.
We'll make sure it has horseradish in it.
Abe, we were talking about the terrorist release thing, and please continue. I asked you who would come up with the names, but you were beginning to tell us why you think Netanyahu is actually releasing these bad guys.
Yeah, well, there are, I'd say, three main possibilities. The first one, you have to look at everything that Netanyahu does. I mean, domestically, internationally, everything has to be looked at through the Iran lens. The threat from Iran is still there, and it is, it's just looming, just hanging over Israel. And nobody else really seems to be paying that much attention to it, especially the Obama administration. So it's quite possible that that Obama and Kerry wanted these talks so much that this is the quid pro quo for cooperation from America in some kind of strike. And one of the reasons that One thing that I think points to that is they declared that these talks would have a nine-month period. There's a nine-month time frame.
I was going to ask you about that.
Months?
I was going to ask you about that timeline. Why 9 months? What is it even smart to place a timeline on this thing? So you think that that has some significance in and of itself?
I think so. There are a couple of new reports that have come out, including one from a think tank called the Institute for Science and International Security. And they have come to the conclusion that by the middle of 2014, Iran will achieve what's known as critical capability, which means that they can build a bomb undetected, or basically in such a short time that nobody would be able to do anything about it. So the fact that that's, let's say, 9 to 12 months away, that may have something to do with this nine-month window this timetable they put on the negotiations. We'll see.
Well, can Obama be trusted to stick with any deal?
I hope so. I don't know.
Yeah, that's really the fly in the ointment here.
What are the other reasons why you think he's doing this?
Well,
you said there were three possibilities.
I think three things that I think these come into three categories. The other one is that from a diplomatic standpoint, Israel's been taking such a beating in the international arena lately. There have been effective sanctions placed on them by the European Union.
Right.
And I mean that includes not cooperating, the European Union won't spend any funds even in Jerusalem, in the parts of Jerusalem that Israel recaptured in 1967. So it may be that Netanyahu felt that they have to do something to take the diplomatic heat off of Israel, that things are just getting too hot and too tough. And he might have thought, you know what, he can do this. If this is the price of entering talks, he'll pay it. It's painful, but at the same time, it's quite possible that the Palestinians are in no position to make a deal, to either want to make a deal or to be able to deliver on a deal. And if it turns out, if the rest of the world sees increasingly that the absence of peace has less to do with Israel than it does with the Palestinians, that may ease some of the diplomatic pressure.
And the other reason?
What I think is kind of the more frightening one. And I bring this up that, you know, almost every prime minister of Israel, from the right to the left, gets into the prime minister's seat and suddenly decides they're going to make the grand gesture, the great bargain, that's going to, some great diplomatic calculation that's going to vastly improve Israel's standing in the region. Menachem Begin did it. Ariel Sharon did it. And you take a look at the list of things that they've done, the calculations they made, and they always looked good. They always looked pretty good on paper. But they were huge flops in reality and ended up really being very dangerous for Israel in the end.
Yeah, I think that the issue
I hear that Israel, yeah, they may be, you know, Israelis may be masters of intelligence and military geniuses, but they are just inept when it comes to making these visionary diplomatic moves. And I think the reason for it is that all of those moves that they did, I mean, this is either, let's say the worst example was the Oslo process, bringing in all of these old PLO founders from exile. They were mostly in Tunisia at the time. They installed them in power. They gave them land. They gave them weapons, and they ended up with an intifada, with thousands of Israelis killed and maimed. These types of things always involve reliance on the good faith the people on the other side.
Exactly.
People on the other side may not be people of such good faith.
Yeah, and I think that's the point that Lara was trying to raise in particular with Barack Obama, but with these people too. The Israelis are always putting their trust in people that aren't the best people to put your trust in. And unfortunately, in this case, that also includes the President of the United States. And so I think both of you fellas have hit the nail right on the head. Abe, let me let me bring in Nostradinus, because I know he had a question or two for you about your article. Nostradinus, who's in headquarters across town, can you speak with Abe Katzman, who's in headquarters across the ocean in Jerusalem?
I sure can, Abe. I've got a generic question. This is about, I know in this case it's not a prisoner exchange, it's a prisoner release, but why is it whenever we hear Israel being involved in prisoner exchanges, it ends up being something like 100 Palestinians for 3 or 4 Israelis? How does that calculation get made?
Well, the last time it was 1,027 Palestinians for 1 Israeli.
Yeah, what is
before that,
that
they had done several hundred for the bodies of 3 Israelis. Well, I think that what happens is that once you make one deal, everybody assumes that you'll make the same deal again under similar terms. Even though the policy officially was, you know, once upon a time was we don't negotiate with terrorists, once you start to, well, this is what you end up, these are the terms that you end up dealing with.
Hey, it becomes easy.
I guess so. It's, look, it's very tough. Every time it happens, the country is, has a very hard time. Everybody here, you realize what a small country it is when these things happen. Everybody here knows somebody who was killed or knows somebody with a family member who was killed, in a terror attack. You know, this is something that's been going on for so long and it's been so rampant. And this is, you know, Israel's a big, crazy family. That's really what it's like. It's, and we've lost family members. So to suddenly release the people who were the perpetrators of these attacks is a very, very hard thing to do.
Abe, we just have a few minutes left. I want to go back to talk about Iran for a minute. I know you were mentioning it earlier, but I want to get more specific. You mentioned how they are developing weapons over there, and now it looks like they may be able to have nuclear weapons by as early as next summer. Of course, Mr. Rouhani, the new president, was sworn in yesterday. Do you think that if the United States and Israel did make some sort of pact, that it will be sometime between, say, now and next spring that they would have to do something or lose their opportunity?
I'm not, you know, there's a big debate about that. I'm not in a position to know. John Bolton, among other people, says that Israel should have bombed Iran yesterday. He wonders what we're waiting for.
Sure. Well, certainly the longer we wait, the harder it's going to be, it seems.
That's right. That's right. I mean, the big a problem now from Israel's standpoint is that the U.S. seems to be buying into this idea that Iran's new president, Rouhani, is a moderate and somebody who can be dealt with.
Well, that's
Israel thinks, what are you doing? Why are you buying into this? They're just buying more time. On the one hand, I will note that there has been a moderate note struck. Remember when Ahmadinejad used to call Israel a cancer that had to be removed.
Right.
Rouhani called Israel a wound or a sore. So we're moving up.
Wow, congratulations.
Pardon me for chuckling.
We've been elevated to a sore.
Oh, my God.
That has to be removed.
But you're right, because I understand why Israel hasn't done anything yet, because they can't count on the United States, not on this president.
Certainly. This is, you're absolutely right, though, that the United States is looking at this as an opportunity, but you called it from the beginning. This guy is no moderate. People who've looked at this guy know he was there when the Ayatollah Khomeini was there, and he was a Khomeini supporter, not to mention this new Ayatollah Khomeini, or whatever you, however you pronounce his name. I mean, he's been right there with the Revolutionary Guard and those guys from the start.
He was revolutionary before revolutionary was cool.
Yeah, you know, he really was.
He was really back when they were when they weren't in the driver's seat. So he's a believer.
All right. Let me go back to Dennis and see if he has something else for you there. Abe Nostradamus, are you still in headquarters?
Yes, I am. And I'm wondering if you have seen the new viral video from Egyptian performer Sama El Masri titled You Obama, You Father, Mother, that attacks the U.S. president for preferring Islamic radicals over the army. Have you seen it?
I did see it. It's there was an article in the Jerusalem Post today, and they online for the video. Well, it's always interesting to see what passes for biting satire in other cultures. You know, I watched this. I don't know if you remember on the Beavis and Butthead show, the look that would be on their faces when they'd be looking at some like avant-garde European video.
Yes.
Not understand. Just this slack-jawed, completely mystified. That's what I looked like when I was watching this. I cannot understand what's brilliant, why it's, but fine, okay, you know. Each his own. One thing I'll say that's interesting about this video, and one thing that this shows, you know, both sides in Egypt are trying to make the claim that the U.S. is supporting the other side.
Right.
Which shows you how high our standing is there. That's an insult to say that America backs you.
Exactly right. Both sides are looking at it as the United States is backing their enemy. But that's what you get when you lead from behind, right? I mean, nobody really knows where you're at because you're behind.
Yep.
Yep. Or like I like to say, leading with your behind, which is what our president...
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Abe, when's your article going to actually be published?
During the break, I got an email from the Daily Beast, and it's going to be in tomorrow.
And what's the official title of it? Did I get it right?
Yeah, you got it pretty much right. It's I think I said Israel's terrorist prisoner release beneath the surface. That headline may not survive the editorial process.
Okay, but just look for the name at the article, Abe Katzman.
Look for the name.
Abe Katzman. And that's Abe Katzman with an S, and you can go to abekatzman.com and get caught up on Abe's work as well. And can people email you there also, Abe?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to see it. In fact, I actually heard from a listener of yours last week.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I encourage you other listeners out there as well. Abe's a great fella, and he'll respond. And if you have questions, I'm sure he'd be the best man to answer it. If it has anything to do with Israel relations with the United States or the rest of the world or anything to do with the Middle East. Abe is our man, and he is in Jerusalem. Thanks, Abe.
And read those articles.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Abe.
We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next week.
That's right, folks. The American Adversaries, Christopher Hart, myself, Lair Adams, and our executive producer, Nostradamus, will be back in just a few minutes. And if you have any questions, don't forget the phone number, 407-774-8255. That's 774-TALK.
Here comes Johnny B. Band, and you don't want to make it mad. Champion Johnny B. Band. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. You better listen, don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
Oh, he is so bad. And folks, remember, Wednesday is going to be a bad day to listen to the American Adversaries. Johnny B. Band will be here with us live in the studio.
I've been listening to an interview that he did for the Pat Williams Show.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a whole lot of stuff to talk about.
Let's yeah, he really does. Way. He's done amazing things since he left the ring.
He's got a great testimonial.
That's right. And folks, speaking of the ring, one of the finest professional wrestlers out there, Nostradamus. I mean, he's been through many ring battles. He's actually on the
sure
line.
He sure looks like it.
That move that he uses his head because it wore off the hair off.
Yeah.
Hair off. Anyway, Nostradamus. I'm sorry.
I am the Palatka Midget Wrestling Champion.
And you're, what, about 6 feet two?
Come on, that's a bully. Listen, what is this about? There's a Barack Obama video that you want to talk about.
Tell us more about this video you were talking about with Abe.
Yeah, it's an Egyptian entertainer. Her name is Sama El Masri. It is called You Obama, Your Father, Mother. And not really knowing a lot about Egyptian culture, I didn't know if this was serious or if it was like a Weird Al Yankovic parody. But it's got still shots of Obama wearing the Muslim headgear. as well as some caricatures of him as well. Apparently, it is poking fun at the president for preferring Islamic radicals like the Muslim Brotherhood over the army. It is definitely a pro-army look at the Egyptian government.
And she's an Egyptian entertainer. She made this in Egypt. Has it gone worldwide viral? You said it went viral.
Well, if you call 160,000 views since last week viral, I'm sure a lot of them here in the U.S., and I would guess the bulk of them would be within Egypt.
In case someone might be interested, where might they be able to see this video?
Oh, I would just go to YouTube, and I would key in her name, Sama, S-A-M-A, El-Masri, E-L-M-A-S-R-Y.
Sama El-Masri.
Now, Dennis, something else I'd like to talk to you about. What is this about our good buddy Colin Powell? He's mad. He's really mad. What's making this man mad?
Well, you're talking about the thing we were talking about on Friday?
Yeah, which I have heard very, very little about in the media. I mean, I've heard a couple of whispers about it here and there, and, of course, we talked about it. But this is not broken big yet. What's going on? Bring everybody up to speed if they hadn't heard Friday.
First, the small story, and that's Colin Powell has been exchanging emails, or had been exchanging emails, with an attaché from Romania, a female 30 years his junior.
And not his wife.
Right. They were friends. They were colleagues. He admits there was a text, an emailing relationship, but he denies that there was any kind of affair going on. Now, you know me. I'm the conspiracy theorist, and I said, why is this happening? Why break this now? What's going on? I can tell you that TheBlaze.com today debunked the rumor involving a military coup against President Obama and F-16s being sent to the White House in retaliation for these Colin Powell affair emails. That's been debunked. Apparently, the person who put this thing out has an air name or a fake name of Sorcha Faal, or if you mispronounce it, such a fail.
Well, you've kind of lost me. Is the thing that with the emails with Colin Powell, has that been debunked? Are you saying that's false?
No. There have been emails back and forth between Powell and this woman. But that's supposed to be a little piece in a bigger story that ended up just being a one-day urban legend.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. In other words, people were taking this and making something out of it that we don't have any additional facts to make anything else out of it yet.
Right. They are making it a smaller part of a bigger conspiracy that we now know. I trust The Blaze, and The Blaze says this does not exist.
All right, nonetheless, Colin Powell did pull a Petraeus. In other words, he was carrying on a internet, let's say, relationship with this other woman.
A correspondent, yeah.
Right. But why haven't we heard anything else about this, and is the part of the story where Colin Powell is threatening that he's not going to go quietly, is that part of the story true?
That's right. That is, unlike Petraeus, who just decided, well, that's it, I'm resigning, Powell is not backing down. Powell says he is going to defend himself and his honor and his good name. So there's more that we will hear from this story.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to have to keep an eye on that one. By the way, Dennis, who are we going to have? Do we have a guest for tomorrow night?
We do have a guest for tomorrow night. Author John Wallstetter will be with us again. We've had him on in the past. He's a very intelligent guest.
Okay. That's right. I remember him. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Dennis. We're just about out of time, so we're going to have to let you get back to your duties over there at headquarters.
Great job, guy.
All right, thanks a lot. That's our executive producer, Nostradennis. And it's because of Nostradennis that we have been able to team up with Ed Roxy at Roxy Pacifics, because mm-hmm. Ed Roxy is the neighbor to Duncan Hunter, who ran for president back when McCain got the nomination, mm-hmm. and Nostradennis worked on his campaign here in Central Florida. Make a long story short, folks, Roxy Pacifics is great stuff. If you haven't tried this stuff yet, you need to get some. You need to try it. It's an antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It's good for just about any skin ailment. Mm-hmm. Anything from
scalp,
your feet. I mean, mosquito bites, rashes,
inside your mouth,
burns. That's right. It's totally safe. It's all natural. It's got vitamins in it. It's got kelp in it. It's got magnesium and niacin and iodine and boron in it. And it's all in the ratios like you would have in your body in terms of what you, your body is made of. You can use it on pets. You can use it on kids. Kids can use it themselves. Mm-hmm. It's totally safe.
Some people earlier said that they had used it on mange.
That's right.
On their dog.
That's right. And I've been using it, and it's working on me. So I,
your mange is gone?
It sure is.
Glad to hear that, Chris.
Yeah, can't you tell?
That's a reoccurring problem.
If you want to try some, go to RoxyPacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X, .net.
No way there's any mange here. We are the American Adversaries, and you are listening to Drive Time. We've got another one in the bag, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Night, everybody.